Hi, this is Michael Palermo, a technical evangelist with Microsoft. And if you want to find out more information about me, you can just simply go to palermo4.com. You can find me on Twitter as well, at palermo4. But this episode of Dev Radio is not about Michael Palermo. It's about Kevin Ashley, technical evangelist with Microsoft, published author for professional Windows 8 programming. You can find more information about him at kevinashley.com. And running in the background at some point is going to be Card Games Chest, something that Kevin Ashley wrote. So, Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure to be at the show. And again, thanks to all our listeners. I hope that you will extract a lot of your useful information from today's show. I have some examples. I really have some code samples for you guys to see. We'll talk about monetization, and hopefully Michael will tell us a little bit more about his plan and his agenda, what he wants to think, wants to talk about. But again, I'm open to any questions at this point.
Oh, that's so good that you said that, Kevin, because I tell you what, we're going to start with the tough questions right now. The thing everyone wants to know right off the bat, as maker of this game, this card chess game, how much money have you made so far?
This is a very interesting question, Michael. I didn't expect it from you so quickly. But anyway, total, my card games earned $100,000 since the magic date of October 26, when Windows 8 was launched.
Wow. Yeah. There is much envy among your peers. Well, if you did not know this.
I'm shocked myself. First of all, Michael, I didn't expect this. Of course, this was a total surprise to me, because this is my hobby, just like for many of you guys who develop apps on their part-time, on the weekends and nights. So it's been my hobby, I really like developing apps. I really like building good quality stuff. I think I can share this story with you. I think I can probably help you have your apps built for Windows Phone, and hopefully you'll be able to benefit from this conversation.
Oh, we definitely hope to benefit, that's for sure. I would even make a recommendation for you, Kevin. Your name is Kevin Ashley. I think your alias at Microsoft should just be K followed by Ash, so you're just known as Cash at Microsoft.com. That's what I'm saying.
Every single account I'm trying to create at Outlook.com, for example, or at Hotmail before, I was trying to use KASH, but it was impossible before that. So, well, at least, I go by Kevin Ashley.
Gotcha. Well, I think, first of all, before we get into the other deep, tough questions, I first want to know, what motivated you to create this app?
This is a great question, actually. Michael, I think what motivates all of us is the fact that you can make a difference. You can build something that didn't exist before. And of course, the card games may not be the great example of the app that didn't exist before, but the concepts of the UI that we're trying to create in Windows 8, that was new to me. And I think for many of us who are trying to build the apps for Windows 8 platform, the new design features of the platform, the UI, the concepts of the UI are very, very important. So if you want to bring something new to the market, this is the perfect time for you guys to do it.
So that's what motivated you, was the timing and the market and so forth?
Absolutely. I didn't think about the money. I mean, thinking about the money was probably the least of my expectations. It was really, I did integrate advertisement, and I did integrate the in-app purchase into the apps. But again, what interested me at that time was the fact that Windows Store now supports in-app purchases. And it now supports advertising, and of course, using the best model to fit into this concept of how to make your app monetize a little bit more. That was really interesting to me, so that motivated me.
I see. Well, I'll tell you what, it's my responsibility, because the viewers want to know these questions, to ask you a couple other tough questions. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
Did Microsoft pay you to write this app?
No, no. In fact, and I have a poster right behind me, actually. I don't know if you guys can see this, but it says, my app, your phone, 8,000 employee developers and growing. So this is about this is about how many developers we have at Microsoft who actually contribute their own weekends and nights, their own spare time, to build the apps for the platforms for the platform that they love. Again, this is my passion. Of course, the fact that I was able to make so much money is the early movers advantage. You guys should know this right away. If you move to the market quickly while the market is still very small, there is a greater chance for you to succeed there. So the answer is I spent my nights and weekends. This was my my hobby, and look at what it's doing right now. I'm really impressed.
Oh, we're looking all right, Kevin. We are looking, and we are envious. So I think that's why I would like to ask you this question. What do you think has contributed to your success? Now that you can look back, got the 100,000. By the way, thanks for taking time to stop counting all that money to have this interview with us. And we would want to know, what do you think has contributed to your success?
I think, Michael, again, this is a very interesting question. What contributed to the success is, well, first of all, it's the success of the platform itself. Windows is the largest platform in the world, the largest ecosystem in the world. And if you build apps, you definitely want to be in the business of building apps for Windows. So we have, I think, 700 million licenses sold for Windows 7, right? So it's a huge, huge number of users. Many users know Windows because they worked with it all the time. So my motivation and I think the reason for the success is based on the success of the platform itself. The platform is successful, and my app right now it's not the top app anymore in the marketplace. If you look at it, it used to be at the very top of the marketplace when Windows 8 was launched. It is not anymore. There are apps that I'm sure are making more money than me, I think this is very natural. This is the continuous growth of the platform itself. We have more developers throwing apps at our platform, more developers developing apps and building successful stories around our platform. I think that's why we have in these success stories. We started to have them, and we'll have them in the future.
That's really good. I think we all shed a tear a little bit when we found out that your app is no longer the top app and you're just making a measly 100,000. But that being said, we are curious nonetheless to find out, can you tell us some tips? Like, for example, what could you share about improving app revenue? And let's start with just asking, how would you know how to price an app?
This is an excellent question. I love answering it. And in Windows Store, you can price the app from free, right? So you can have a free app, of course. Or you can start with $149, right? Or the maximum price for the app would be $999.99, which is a lot of money, probably,
that's
right? Michael, would you pay $999.99 for a set of card games?
No.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Would you pay $499 for a set of card games?
I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah, I thought so, you know. So what about maybe $129? And
it's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
Call me cheap.
So you see, what I'm doing right now is, in business schools, it may be called the sensitivity analysis, right? So I'm trying to see how sensitive is the market, how sensitive is your demand about the price of my app, right? So $999 is probably too much. And then I go lower, 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 and probably at some point you'll find a sweet spot, right? Which is going to be, I think, for the card games, somewhere between free and maybe $4.99, $5.99, really, maybe $9.99 for a set of really good games. And it really depends, I think, on the type of apps that you build. Some of the business apps may very well be priced at $4.99, and I think that's the perfect price point for them. So pricing the app, I think, is a sensitivity approach. You take this curve and you look at it and you see how elastic is my demand, if I can say that, right? And so if the demand is elastic, if the market is moving fine with the price that you set, that's okay. But if the price exceeds what the market can pay for it, then you have to lower the price.
I see. So if I recall correctly, the card game chess that you created, that was free, was it not?
That's correct. So the card game chess, and I thought about this. I previously had apps built for Windows Phone. And in Windows Phone, the price for the app was set to $1.99. And it was it had a trial, and it was set to $1.99. But then I thought, because of the size of the Windows market, how huge it is, and how big of an impact this market will have on the business model of the app, I have to change the price. So I made it free, but I integrated in-app purchases in the app.
Oh, I was going to say, free doesn't add up to me to $100,000. So just saying, you know, I can understand now you use this approach of get the app free, maybe into their hands, and then something in the app was an in-app purchase. So can you describe that model for us?
Correct. And this is a typical standard freemium model. When you give a free product to the user, and really you spend a lot of time on building this product, you have to make it perfect. It has to be a quality product, of course, right? But then you want to get paid back, at least in your imagination, you want to get something back. So to do this, you have really several options. You can, for example, if you have a game, and not necessarily a card game, but you can have a game that has levels, for example, right? So you'd make a level that costs a certain amount of money, for example, so that when the users reach the level, they just start paying for the next version, right, for the upgrade to the version. And that's all an in-app purchase, which means that they make a purchase in the app, and then they can continue to the next level, for example. Or another example is we can have, for example, a consumable product. A consumable product is the product that they have to spend in order to, for example, use some other features within your app. So think about maybe a gold. So they buy 100 gold. That's the virtual gold in your app. And so they keep paying with this gold within the app.
I see. So far you've talked about, you know, a pay per download model. You've also talked about an in-app purchase model. Where do ads come into play?
Yeah, and the ads are actually a great model to support any other model that you may have on your app. So if your users are still at the stage when they haven't purchased the app, when they are thinking about it, or they just enjoy playing the free levels of the game, for example, you can integrate the advertisements. And Microsoft provides a great support for advertisements. They're different size and shapes, and it's an amazing, really, I think it's an amazing and very easy to add feature to your app. Literally, you download an advertising SDK, as you know, and that can be in both JavaScript HTML apps, it can be in C#, XAML apps, and then you simply put this control on your surface wherever you want this control to be, and just start making money.
That sounds good. So since our audience is technical in nature and probably mostly developers, I guess my question for you now is, do you have code examples for monetizing apps?
Absolutely. I'll be happy to show it. Yeah, and since most of our audience is developers, I want to give you a few examples from the book that I've written with four other authors, and particularly this example is in Chapter 11. You can download the example completely free from the book's website, and let me just proceed to the example. So the app is actually very simple. It's it demonstrates several concepts, such as, for example, the in-app purchase. And what I'm going to show you right now is, first of all, if I want to upgrade the license. So let's assume that this app is a trial app. You know, one of the apps that you see a try button in the store. So I'm going to upgrade the license for this app, and you see a dialog box coming up. This is a debug testing dialog box. You won't see it in the actual production app. And so I now have an unlocked app that allows me to do in-app purchases. And then if I go into an in-app purchase and I want to make a purchase, boom, a tomato product was purchased. Cool. So let me show you how this works. And one of the interesting things about this example is how I use data binding to actually bind to the data model to the store API. So in the actual purchase, when I do the actual purchase, all I need to do is call this method right here. I hope that you guys can see it. And I'm using the object called current app simulator, and it's only used in testing or development. And what I'm doing here is I'm requesting product purchase async. And this is a call which provides my product ID and completes the purchase with the store. That's all I need to do. Now, if you want to see how to use data binding and how to integrate data binding with the store API, you can take a look at my examples provided on the Books website. And one of the examples is, I want to show it's right here. So I have an app license data model, and I have events that, of course, listen to the notification from the store when the license on your product has changed. And then when the product is purchased, for example, I can hide or display the ads. So this is a very, very useful concept if you think about this, because we typically have lots of apps that use data binding in one way or another. It's a great way to present the information to the end user. And sometimes you want to hide or show the ads depending on your licensing model, and that's exactly what I'm doing right here.
That's excellent. Hey, I got a question for you there, Kevin.
Yep.
So you showed the current app simulator. So what would a developer need to do when they want to release this actually to the store?
Yeah, so that's a great question. When they want to actually release this to the store, they need to replace the current app simulator, and I'm doing it right now on the screen, with the current app.
Oh, cool.
That's it. That's the only thing they need to change. They also need to change, of course, all the currencies of current app simulator in the code.
I understand. Very good. Thank you. Well, thanks for sharing that, Kevin. I would assume that for those code samples, the viewers can simply find that at your blog?
Absolutely. They can go to my blog, and it has tons of links to the live code samples from the book and also other examples, of course.
That's excellent. So, again, the shameless plug for Mr. Kevin Ashley is kevinashley.com. But now we're going to start to get serious again, Kevin. I'm going to ask you a question here. How did you market your app? How did you get the buzz around?
You know, Michael, it's an excellent question. When I released the apps, I didn't market them at all. So the apps were submitted with the release preview of Windows, which was very early at the development cycle, what I would call this is an early mover's advantage, definitely playing for you. And if you guys listening to our webcast start building the apps today, the market is still very, very small, as you know, small in terms of the number of apps, but not in terms of the number of users. And so this is a great, great opportunity for you to move into this market early. I asked some iOS developers about a week ago, would they recommend me building a card game now for an iOS platform? And the unanimous answer from an audience of about 200 iOS expert developers was no.
Yeah.
This is not the best time to do it. each market has its magic moment. Each market has this time when you can submit the app and really make a difference in the market, really establish a brand, establish a great app, make some money, right? So I think that this is a great opportunity, and right now the magic moment is with the Windows market.
I agree. But I still, Kevin, I have a responsibility to the viewers, because word on the street is, well, maybe he's just doing good because he's got the big company Microsoft backing him up. So I want to ask it just point blank to you. Did Microsoft give you some kind of a unfair advantage?
You know, if anything, this would be a fair disadvantage, because as partners, as developers, each of you can work with Microsoft, the Microsoft marketing, and they'll provide you help and resources how to feature the app, how to advertise the apps on our platform. As a Microsoft employee, I actually am excluded from most of these programs. I cannot participate in these programs. So if anything, this was a market disadvantage, of course. But the fact that I was early to the platform, the fact that I believe in the platform, and I make a huge time investment into this is, of course, you know, it's plain definitely to my advantage.
Yes, how true it is what you have just said. All right, well, I know I've had some side conversations with you before. You know, the big buzz around the card games right now is the monetization story, which is fantastic. I've told your story to so many people already. But I want to ask you this question now. What do you think, what do you, Kevin, actually think makes an app great?
I think it's a great question. I think it's not necessarily the monetary part of application. Surprise, surprise. I think it's really what you think about how to build this app. It's the early development process. And not every app is going to make that much money. And the apps that I've built, some of them are not making a lot of money.
What?
Really, I mean, seriously, it's I've built probably about maybe 15 different apps. Some of them I just submitted, and they never took off. And that's the reality of this world, right? But I think with every app, I enjoyed what I did, and I think that every developer is the same. You know, we all enjoy apps that we build, because it's like building a product. It's like building something that people can use for us.
Do you have an example of an app that you wrote that didn't make any money but you're proud of?
Absolutely. I just recently built an app which is very, very popular, extremely popular. In fact, it had about 30,000 downloads on Windows Phone. So on Windows 8, my apps had about 500,000 downloads. On Windows Phone, it's about 30,000 downloads. And about 3,000 users I know are actively using it by Skin, actually. I'm going to show you some of this app in just a few moments.
Why wait? Let's see it right now.
Let's do it. So this is the app that I want to show you. That is, I'm really proud of this app, and of course it doesn't make any money right now, but there is a lot of users actually using this. And the app is called Winter. It's for skiers and snowboarders, or anyone who likes winter sports. And what's amazing about this app is it's actually a part of the Nokia collection today. And it's built on Windows Phone 8, and it's a universal tool. The way I think about it, it's a universal tool for skiers and snowboarders. So you can actually use it for tracking activity. So you can see, for example, I can see how many days and how many runs I did during the season. You can look at the maps of your runs. You know, you can see all your friends. So it's really an amazing app in terms of showing you exactly where you are where you are on the mountain. Also, it has a social network behind it, so I have many, many friends, as you can see, from many, many different countries, and new users are joining every day. And One of the things about it is I was actually recently ousted from the leaderboard. I used to be on top of this, and right now there are two guys that actually bypassed me already. So it has a competition and motivational moment in it. And so getting back to the subject of why do we enjoy doing this, even though the apps are not making money, is because there is a great potential in them. There is a great, use for all of these apps. And I'm sure that even if you build something that is not making money right away, if you invest enough time in this, if you polish it, if you make it really beautiful, people will love it and people will use it.
Wow. Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and just ask, do you like skiing?
That's a great question. But yes, I do like skiing and snowboarding. It's just like, I think skiing and snowboarding is just like JavaScript, HTML5, and C# and XAML. So, you know, you either enjoy one of them, but I actually enjoy both.
I see. So I think the moral of the story here is if someone has a passion, a hobby of some kind, they might want to look into transferring that into possibly an app.
Absolutely. And if I may say that when you have a hobby, only you, you know, it's not us, it's not any of your advisors, but if you're expert in some industry, be it finance, be it something else, be it skiing or snowboarding, you can always turn the passion into the app, and you can always find a community of people interested in using your app in the future.
That's fantastic. Is that you wearing the green?
Oh yeah, that's me. I couldn't find another guy to do this for me. So,
okay, well that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Kevin. That was great. But you know, I think there was one little feature that we didn't discuss about that particular app. Can you please share it with us?
Absolutely. So the reason why I actually started building this app is because Windows Phone and some of the Windows phones have this unique feature. They actually have a glove-sensitive touchscreen. And what that means is that you can use your glove, and I'm wearing my ski glove right now. It's just a standard ski glove. I mean, I can use it to navigate the phone. See? So what's amazing about this is, especially in the cold, in the snow, right, you don't need to take your gloves off. And if you ever skied in really cold conditions, I think that's a killer feature for a device. So when we, when I started building this app, one of the things that I thought was, how can I use the modern UI design concepts to make it really, really useful in the mountains? And I think that this is the perfect match. You know, having a ski glove operate this and having the modern UI, I think it's the perfect match for a ski app.
So, Mr. Kevin Ashley, it's now time for me to somewhat get a little Oprah on you. I'm going to ask a personal question. Are you ready?
Go ahead.
All right. Kevin, do you have a girlfriend?
Yes, I do.
How did she feel when you were spending all these nights and weekends developing this app?
That is a very tough question. I think this is the hardest question I answered during this interview today, and she sometimes wasn't happy about it. I have to say that because it really takes a lot of time to build a high quality app, but at the end it all played well.
Really? So, yeah. I'm going to ask you another tough question. How is she doing now?
Well, she's actually loving playing the game sometimes. She also loves the ski app. She's a skier, and she loves the fact that she can actually use the app as a tool right now. So I think it actually, I finally convinced her that what I'm doing is actually useful.
I think she's convinced. I think she is.
Thank you, Michael.
I want to know right now another very tough question. I'm going Oprah on you again. Are you ready?
Yes.
You're making some pretty good money right now. Do you plan on leaving Microsoft?
excellent question. And very tough also. So the answer is there are many, many people at Microsoft who actually make much more money than me. And, you know, probably starting with the Microsoft leadership, I would say that many of them, I'm a technical evangelist, many of them are making a lot of money. Many of our investors are making a lot of money, and still they stay with Microsoft. And I do not plan to leave Microsoft because this is the company that gives me a constant stream of new technologies, of inspiration, and I plan to stay with Microsoft and work with Microsoft, and of course, at my spare time, if I can build more beautiful apps, I'll be happy to share them with you.
Excellent. Good answer. So I just want everyone to know I've got Kevin Ashley's app running in the background, and Kevin, are you like making money during this interview right now with this app running in the background?
Michael, probably there's a good chance that I am making money right now with your app staying on the foreground. Yes.
That's crazy. Well, really want to appreciate it. Thank you so much, Kevin Ashley, for joining us for this episode. Obviously, I think the main focus for the viewers is this. You've got a limited opportunity right now with this Microsoft Store. Jump in just as Kevin did. Start to earn your potential. And if you want more information on how you can do this, I highly recommend that you go to build.windowsstore.com. Thanks for watching, and thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Michael.